All right. So we've got just a couple of our seniors who have been willing to just share a little bit of their testimony and just give us an encouragement today. I said this, so if you would come on up, grab your chairs, you know the deal. I've just been so encouraged getting to know these seniors and so many others, just how good God is, and how great He is, how big He is. And just been so encouraged myself that the same Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, the same Holy Spirit who sent flames of fire down at Pentecost, the same Holy Spirit that lives in me because of what Christ has done and in all of us is in everyone who's put their faith in Jesus. And while some of us might have lived this much, God's leading and His guidance and His shepherding in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, He has given us such incredible wisdom. And so we're just so excited. We're so thankful and so blessed to hear from you guys this morning. So would you give a round of applause for these two? And so I asked them just a couple questions. How has God worked in your life? Maybe particularly over the past few years, or just what's your testimony? And so they prepared a little bit to say about that. And then the second question is just this: what encouragement would you give us? So we're going to answer the first question and then we'll come back to that second one. All right.
Okay. So for those of you who don't know me or forgot when I was up here, my name is Jaden. So my testimony, it's not full of a lot of exciting things. I grew up in a Christian household with two wonderful parents who taught me what was right and, really helped me a lot. They're the reason I am who I am today. There wasn't a whole lot of wandering off that happened because they were just, they are wonderful examples of what it means to be a follower of Christ. But for the second question, which, of course, I left my phone in my chair, so I don't have any notes. God has been, especially these last couple years, it's just, He's really been so amazing, and I mean, He's always amazing, but specifically these last couple of years, when I learned to give Him my whole life, it changed everything for me. I went from being a kid who I kind of gave God the stuff that I thought was pretty. I let Him have like the good parts of my life. And once I was fully devoted to Him and I just gave Him everything, it changed my life. And a lot of that was through this church and all the things that Pastor Nick and Pastor Brian and all of you have done. And it's been really meaningful to me.
Well, I'm Nathaniel Golden, and like Jaden, I can't really remember a time when God wasn't in my household. In the past 4 years, I've made leaps and bounds with my faith, especially when I had officially signed my contract with the Marine Corps. I've grown exponentially with God, reading the Bible more, going to church more, volunteering for church services more. So He's done a lot in my life, and He will continue to do more in my life as I progress into the Marine Corps.
Okay, so my words of encouragement to you people who are younger than me, which is probably, I'm not going to count that. That's probably over 10. That's more than I can count. Start counting. No. Don't do what I did. Commit all your life to God. Not just the parts that you think are pretty or the parts that you don't want to give up, but give Him all of it. God wants all your life because He loves you. He ain't going to be, oh no, I don't like this part of you. He wants all of you. He doesn't say, come as you want to be. It says, come as you are. So that's my advice. Give Him all of you.
I really don't have a lot more outside of what Jaden said. But yeah, continue on the course. I've learned as I progress in my faith that if you stay on the path, you will be at ease more often than not. I got a verse. It stuck with me for a long time. Before closing, I'm going to say the verse. It is Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." With me joining the Marine Corps, this verse has stuck with me a whole lot more, since we are the ones who go first, so that we can create a protective barrier around the forces who will be going behind us. So this verse has really stuck with me for the past 4 years.
Thank you, guys. Yep, good job. Thank you. Well done. Hey, yeah, I just have been so blessed by what these guys have to offer. And it's just a reminder, yeah, the world needs what you have to offer. And Jaden, for instance, just such a talented dude. He never played drums. And you're going to hear, you've already heard him playing, and he's awesome. You're going to hear him just having a good time as we close out the service today in just a little bit. But he did not play drums, and he didn't really want to play drums, but he's just got talent. And so we had him playing cajon at youth group one night. It's like a little box drum. And I was like, dude, this guy's got some rhythm. And I was like, hey, Jaden, you want to go over, sit on that drum kit and play it just like a cajon, but just do this and this. And he was like, not really. But he did. And just as a like pure act of service, he learned the drums, always wishing that he'd like could do something else kind of, but he's just played such an important role. And it's just such an incredible example to me and our whole youth group. So thank you, Jaden. Yeah. All right. Well, I've got a couple words to share. As you are about to embark into this incredible day, your graduation Sunday, and then on to the rest of your lives. Yeah, I'm so excited for you. I hope this day is just such a celebration, such a joy. I know one big question that I'm sure has been on your mind a lot over the past 4 years as your teacher is talking about something random in class and you're like, I wasn't paying attention for the past 5 minutes. Is this going to be on the test? All right. But now you might be looking back at all those things that you learned over the past 4 years and wondering, how is any of this going to even matter? Will this actually matter? And so we want to talk today in these next 10 minutes. I want to keep it to 10 minutes. I got this. All right. We're going to talk about in this next 10 minutes what really matters. Jaden also earlier today was explaining to me what isopropyl means, and I've already forgotten, but it was really impressive that he knew, so that was cool. Anyway, but yeah, we get flooded with all this information, and for some people, it's incredibly valuable, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. This stuff matters, and I don't want to make light of amazing disciplines of academia, but sometimes these are like, that's not quite my thing, but we'll get into that in a little bit. But what really matters? I've got 8 minutes, so I'm going to jump right into it. Knowing Jesus Christ and making him known to the world who desperately needs him. You are going to go into the world. You're graduating and you're going to head out to the workforce. Some of you guys are going to be building homes, building foundations for families to live in, to grow up on, for businesses to thrive. You are going to be doing meaningful work. Some of you are going to school. You're going to be learning a discipline. You're going to be learning something to take into the workforce. You're going to be pursuing passions. You're going to be growing in knowledge and entering the workforce. So I want to take a moment to talk about work and purpose. We've talked recently, we at youth group dove into this little phrase in 1 Corinthians 3:9, where the Apostle Paul writes this: "You are God's field." And we dove into what this means to live our lives as God's fields. One of the things that we touched on is that work is good. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God made the heavens and the earth, said it was good. Then put man in the garden. Men and women. Actually, it wasn't until then. But then said, this is very good. But what was going on when the world was very good, in the perfection of Eden, God created man to work. God created man to work. Work was good. Purpose was given. Right? God, we just see this witness of who God is, what he's like, and he creates something beautiful and good. He creates us and says we are made in his image, to be after his likeness, to pursue the things that matter to him. Work is good. You were meant to cultivate, build, create, bring order and beauty from the chaos, right? I don't know if you've ever read that passage in the creation narrative, and he just starts talking about like these rivers and how there's like pool, like black stones, and like mentions these random little things that exist in that area around that river. And you're like, why the heck is this in the creation narrative? This particular river with these particular things. Why did you mention that? It's because our calling is to take the good things that God has given us, our skills and talents, the raw materials of planet Earth, and turn them into something good and beautiful. Now, that looks incredibly different for each and every single one of us, right? I was contemplating on that cup of coffee you might have brought into this room from the foyer, right? Imagine how many people, how much organization needed to be in coordination for that coffee cup to be in this room, right? The dye for the paper on the outside of that black cup, the paper itself, the wax coating on the inside. People all around the world produce all of these things, right? The plastic for the lids, and then let alone the coffee. How many people are involved in the growing of the coffee plants, in the processing of the coffee beans, of the aging of them, of the roasting of them, of the shipping of them, all of that stuff, so that we can enjoy a good cup of coffee roasted locally in Big Timber, Montana. How incredible is that? You get to be a part of something beautiful, right? The calling in Genesis 1 was to go and create culture, create a world to living in that reflects the God that we serve. But this goes wrong. This goes wrong. Sin entered the world. Selfishness entered the world. Fear, comparison, judgment entered the world. And Genesis 3:17, cursed is the ground because of you, and pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Became frustrating and difficult and confusing. And our purpose gets muddled. Our perspectives get muddled, our motivations get muddled, and it goes wrong. We want to chase after meaning and worth by what we do and what we create, by how much we earn, by how much we contribute. I just want to warn you now, that will not satisfy. Before all of that, before you ever contributed a single thing, God, your Father, thought of you, knit you together in your mother's womb. And loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you, that you could have everlasting life with him, not according to anything that you've done, anything you've contributed, anything you have to offer, but because of what he's done. And so I want to point to the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. He says this, after having listed his grand list of accomplishments, he says this, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. It's not just some Christian ideal like, oh, that sounds spiritual, like, oh, you know, it's not really me. It's all for you, Jesus. No. As much as you could possibly contribute, as much as you could possibly accomplish, the worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, far surpasses any of that. And so I want to call you and challenge you in the words of Jesus in Matthew 6:33. Speaking of the worries of the world, says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. This is on the back of Jesus talking about how we can get anxious about what we'll eat, where we will stay, what we will wear, basically the day-to-day life. Are we going to have enough, be enough, provide enough? But Jesus says this, your Father knows what you need. Your Father knows what you need. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I'm already over my 10 minutes. You guys, I am so proud of you, and I'm so excited for your graduation today. I want to just finish with one more thing. As you seek first the kingdom, I'm going to give you step one on that. Step one of seeking the kingdom, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Put him first above all else. One thing I have learned in my life that has rang more true it's just rang true. Everything that I have done for the glory of God has also been for my good. And everything that I have done, trying to better my situation, trying to, in pursuit of making myself feel justified, or just in my own eyes, or in the eyes of others, has just left me more and more feeling a need to accomplish more, to do more, to be more disciplined, to be more whatever. But everything that I've done for the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit has been also for my greatest good in life. He is a good Father who knows what you need. Seek him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everywhere you go, the people you see are God's created image bearers. Show compassion and kindness, and always be ready to share with them the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. And lastly, a new commandment, Jesus says, I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. I want to encourage you, wherever you go, if you stay around here, if you go all the way around the world, if you're heading to Bozeman or Billings or wherever, find Christian community. Our world is in desperate need of friendship. Our world is in desperate need of community. Right, what the American Psychological Association calls, we are in an epidemic of loneliness in our country. Because of screens, because of XYZ, we are in an epidemic of loneliness, and Montanans are in the thick of that. So wherever you go, meet that need in someone else's life, admitting also that you need them to meet that need in your life. So go get plugged in a local church, be a part of a small group, continue to seek the Lord in Christian community. And last, know that you have a great commission. You have a purpose for your life. God has created you to pursue the path that only you can pursue and live the life that only you can live because of what he has done and the Holy Spirit's empowering work within you. But we are all on one great commission as well, to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to challenge you. Be a light to the world. Share the gospel. Be loud with your faith. Be kind, compassionate, gentle, humble. Be a servant. Be confident in Christ. Be strong in the Lord. Because you have God Almighty as your refuge. I want to close with this verse that has been such an anchor for me. It's Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8, and it says this: "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God." We're going to close in prayer. Lord God, we look to you, our mighty rock, our fortress, Lord. Lord, thank you that we can trust in you at all times. Lord, and when our trust is in you, Lord, we will not be shaken. Thank you, Lord, that you invite us to pour out our hearts before you, to come before you in full, transparent honesty in every season. Lord, as we celebrate today and just rejoice in the accomplishment of these seniors. And Lord, when, as Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, Lord, may we indeed take heart, for he has overcome the world. Lord, may we never forget your goodness, your faithfulness, Lord, your sovereignty. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Be with these amazing seniors today and their families. In Jesus' name, amen.